Hi there, and welcome to the Homestead Education Podcast. Do you have a homestead, farm, or just dream of a rural life? This is a show to help you and your kids grow your own food and grow as a person. I'm your host, Cody Hanner. I'm a homesteader, homeschool mama six, and small town enthusiast. I was raised by an old school rancher and blessed by the grace of God to have been exposed to so much of what rural life has to offer. Join me every week to talk about homesteading, homeschooling, and growth with a homestead education. Hi, I have Diane Peterson from Radical Unschooling here today, and I am so excited to learn from her because unschooling is the hottest new topic in homesteading. So, hi, Diane.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, I'm just getting set up with my unschooling morning. Everybody's, you know, sleeping, and I have my slow mornings, and that's probably one of my favorite times of the day as a whole, as an unschooler, I guess, or yeah.
You know what? I once had somebody on a podcast ask me, what is your morning rhythm? And I'm like, I'm thinking of all these beautiful, like, Pinterest homeschool moms who have these baskets with morning activities and blocks and just this beautiful aesthetic thing. And I knew for a fact that my toddler was out in the living room in just his underwear fighting the dog over a toy.
Yeah.
So
I knew right away that that's not me and that's not going to be me. I tried it for 3 days after I pulled my kids. You know, I kind of had this idea in my mind, you know, oh, I'm going to be so organized and it's going to be beautiful and they're going to listen to me.
And then life kicked in.
And then life kicked in, and you know, I just decided right there and then that, you know, I'm going to be doing things differently, and that's okay. As long as I get my stuff done, you know, we're good.
I agree completely. So I'd love to hear your story of, like, why you decided to start homeschooling and then how you, I know you said 3 days, but how that evolved into unschooling.
Okay. So
we weren't originally homeschoolers either. So there's always this, like, great story that was that catalyst.
Right. So it was a huge one for me because in 2019, I got a job in the school system. So I worked with 0 to 5 year olds and I ran all these family programs. And then I kind of had this idea that I want to be an early childhood educator. And I also had a part-time job as an education assistant, teacher assistant. So, you know, I felt like I had my foot in the door. You know, I had a good gig and I had like 3 different positions in the school. And my kids were just at that age where they were just going into kindergarten, grade one, you know, and I thought, oh, perfect. You know, we're going to do this rhythm forever.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be perfect. I couldn't wait, you know, to get back to work. Right. Mm-hmm. I had been home with my kids because my girls were back to back, you know, 15 Ooh. Months apart.
I had twins, like, so I kind of feel you.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I've been home for 5 years. You know, I'm done. You know, I want to work. I'm going to be a working girl. No,
you know, I worked in the corporate world and I loved my job. Like, I legitimately loved it. I learned a way that after I came home to make that job be something I can do from home.
Yes. Yes. And for me, the perk was that I get to be on the job with my kids, you know, and just kind of mm-hmm. see them all the time.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit.
And, isn't that right, always the story? Like, goodness.
And it's like, I just got it figured out. Like, I had my life planned out, you know, this is going to be beautiful. And COVID hit and my husband said,
COVID had
the
opposite effect that they were aiming for.
Yes. And my husband said he wants to homeschool and he wants me to drop everything that I'm doing and just come home with the kids. And I said, what do you mean? You're crazy. Like, you're asking me to sacrifice, you know, my job, my career, you know, all these connections mm-hmm. and opportunities that I had set up for myself. And I was also doing one of my practicums in kindergarten. And I was also working as an, so it was a weird position. Like, I was doing three different things in a classroom, in a kindergarten classroom. Like I was doing my practicum. I was also paid to be there. Like that was my paycheck.
Oh,
And
wow.
I was also a parent with my youngest child. And it was just super awkward to navigate that time, you know, where you kind of like, you see things unfold in real life, you know, how they're being masked and distanced,
Oh,
like
I
social
couldn't imagine
distance.
those little babies, like, 5 years old, trying to understand why they have to be masked and can't be near their friends.
Right. So I, you know, at the time I thought, you know, I also have an edge, you know, 'cause you know, I'm in the system and I get to like protect my kids because the doors were shut to everybody else. All the parents weren't allowed to even get through the gates,
Oh.
you know, to even be on the playground or the parking lot. Like you know, you just wait in line to pick up your kid. So I did feel a little bit privileged to kind of be in there. But then, you know, week after week, you start to see the dynamic shift, you know, power from the parents to the teachers and things not being communicated back to the parents about what's happening in the classroom on the daily. So I felt like I was that fly on the wall, but also eyes on the inside until that one day when there was this principal that came in and she's like, no, like it's fine. And we're just kind of sitting there and I'm in the classroom, you know, trying to shush everybody. And then she pulls out this big board and she just starts doing this big propaganda speech about, you know, masking and how it's good. And at the same time, like I know who the parents are and I know where they stand with some of the things that were pushed.
Right.
And I'm just like, oh my God, like I think I'm gonna throw up because my child is also in there. And you know, the children that I thought that were like solid, you know, they've been drilled to stand up for their rights and, you know, kind of like not do what they're told in certain situations, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And you know, these kids, they were
I'm
just
like
like,
getting like teary-eyed.
yeah, and you know, these kids that you thought that, you know, they'll never break, you know, they raised up their hands and said, yes, I would like a rainbow mask. You know, I would like to be like all my friends. Yes. You know, and that's when it hit me. Like, that's how easy it is. That's all it took.
And what else can they push on the kids besides the mask thing?
Yes.
What else are we seeing the kids?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I would
And
have probably
that
walked
was that
out right
moment where
there.
I felt so sick in my stomach because it's not that I was just a parent in that situation, because I would have been like, yeah, no way, you know, grab her hand, let's go home. But it was also the situation where if I do that, I may lose my job and I may be kicked out of my program for going against the powers that be. You know, and at that moment, I decided that, okay, you know, I'm going to ride this thing out, you know, until the end of the semester. And, you know, we're going to talk it through and I'm going to homeschool the kids. So I kind of knew what was coming for me, you know, and I knew that by September, the kids were coming home.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just an awkward time, you know, where there was a lot of classroom isolations. You know, if there was one case of COVID, then the whole classroom needed to stay home for 10 days. But I had three kids in that school, so I literally had three classrooms back to back, all in isolation. So we were
How does
home
that
for
even
like a whole
work?
month, 2 months, and I'm like, well, we might as well stay home.
Right.
Because we already got into the rhythm of, oh yeah, you know, we're just living our life and we actually like it. You know, we love it. We like each other and we're
Right.
getting along. So why not? So my kids came home. And then coming January, I decided that I was going to finish the school year with the positions that I had, kind of to keep the paycheck going, to finish strong or what,
I
whatever
feel
it
you.
means.
Yeah.
And it was the most awkward time in my life again, because your kids are home, but you're too good to send your kids, but then you're also here. And then I would get like all these questions like, why and what's the problem? I'm like, look around you.
Right.
How do you see the problem? I can't believe you're asking me, what the problem is. So anyway, here I am, chucking along, and never went back.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be a temporary decision. We thought, oh, well, things will blow over. We'll go back in spring break. And then the school said, no, you can't come back. You have to finish the school year. And I said, okay, well, I guess we won't be coming back. And we haven't been back since.
I love it.
Yeah.
So, when you were planning what your homeschool was going to look like, what were you planning? Like, what were your thoughts like before you decided to take this turn into unschooling?
Well, first of all, I started diving into all these homeschool groups on Facebook, right? Because there's a million of them.
Oh, yeah. And they
There's like
all,
this,
everyone's saying something different.
yeah, there's this curriculum and there's that curriculum, and you need to do it this way, and you need to be involved in this, and you need to do all these extracurricular activities. And it was just too much. I felt like I was
Yeah.
drowning in all that information. And then interestingly, I ended up finding Tasha Fisherman's community on Facebook, and she had kind of just started it. And she was bringing on this whole concept of unschooling. And I thought, oh, like, interesting. It sounds very much like me because I don't want to do
Yeah.
any of that. And I connected with her right away. Yeah, and I kind of had to deprogram myself. I took some time, at least 6 months, from January till August, where I, decided that, it's okay if we drop the books, if we drop the workbooks. Like I said before, I did try it for a couple of days, maybe a week, and it turned into a little bit of a battle, where my youngest one just wasn't ready and she wasn't into it, and she was only 5.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what, whatever, just into the trash, we're gonna be fine. So I really had to trust myself that it, we're gonna be okay.
You
And
know,
6 months later, yeah, they started asking me, hey, can we do this? And what about workbooks? I'm like, oh, well, I'm glad you asked. Yeah.
we started homeschooling going on 8 years now.
Oh, wow.
And when we first started, it was kind of a split thing because my older boys, who are actually my stepsons, but I've been raising them pretty much their whole lives. Their mom passed away. They are just not wired for school at all. Where my biological kids are wired for school. And I'm not even saying that because then, like, my husband and I have children together. Like, we have the years, mine and ours. And all four of the ones that are mine are like, they're just genetically wired to learn. Like, they're just that they want to. They thrive on it and they crave it. My stepsons, like one of my stepsons, he's really bright. I mean, he's 8, almost 19 now, and he's been working as an electrician's apprentice since he was 15. Like, that was where he thrived. He did not thrive in a school setting. But trying to teach them at home, my little ones, they asked to come home. They're like, Mom, we're bored with the math that we're doing in second grade. Can you have extra math for us at home? And they were like working on algebra at home when they got home from second grade. And I was like, they are like, and we had started homeschooling our oldest first. He'd gotten in some trouble at school. So we're like, okay, we'll bring him home and let's just see how it goes, you know? And my younger kids were like begging to get to do his work. And he was in the eighth grade. And so the second graders were coming home and doing eighth grade work, just out of fun, you know? But then I
Yes.
told my husband, I said, oh my gosh, I'm like exhausted because I'm teaching, him being in the eighth grade, I felt like he really needed a set curriculum. Like he, and we thought he was going back in 6 months. So I was making sure he was staying on track. And I told my husband, I said, I'm exhausted. I am literally teaching from 6 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. Like I can't do this, you know? So we asked the twins if they wanted to come home and homeschool for 6 months and see how it worked. And they were like, yes, like they were so excited. Yeah. And I'd be like, they were doing like their curriculum, they were doing their brother's curriculum, like they just wanted to learn all day long, And so then our kind of middle son, the one who I was telling you about that's almost 19 now, he was like, well, if everybody else is home, I want to be home, like the whole FOMO thing, like fear of missing out. And so he came home, but he was like, wait, you expect me to do work? And that was like where the hard part came in because like our oldest one wanted to go back to school. So he was doing all his work to make sure he didn't get held back. I had my little ones that were doing everybody's work. And then I had my one in the middle who didn't want to do any work. And I was trying to create something that worked for everybody. And we did this for almost 2 years. And I was exhausted. And now that our older ones are out of the house, and I have the twins, and then we have two younger ones. I'm not saying we unschool really any of them, but we've embraced that concept so much more. Like I kind of go, so what do you want to, the older ones, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I want to be a vet. Okay, if you want to be a vet, you need to understand that you need to have all your math and sciences locked in before you go to college. Okay, what do I need to do? Like, so she's very, and then everything else, she chooses her own curriculum. So I let her guide herself,
Yes.
Whereas, like,
I like to call it reverse engineering your educational journey, because to go where you're, I mean, yeah, to go where you want to go, you need to kind of, yeah, you need to know where you're going first, right? Because a lot of the high schoolers, I feel like they just get out of high school and they're a little bit aimless. You know, it's just like, oh, let's just shoot the shot. You know, let's just try this or that. You know, whereas homeschoolers and unschoolers, they have a better of an idea already of where they want to go. And like you said, okay, you know, you want to be an engineer or a vet, whatever. Okay, what do I need to do to get into that program? Oh, okay, you know, I need to these two courses, three courses, whatever. Okay, then I'm going to work on these courses, you know, to get my credits or whatever I need. Okay, so if I need those courses, you know, how do I have to prepare myself? Right. So it's step by step, you know, working your way from way back. And then you really get to just focus on the things that you actually need to focus on. And all the
Well, my
fluff
husband
can
and I,
just.
when we moved from Oregon to Idaho, he was like, let's try this unschooling concept. Like, I kind of like it. And I was like, okay, let's give it a shot. And that was when we first saw that one middle child, like he was not going to be self-motivated in any way, shape, or form. Like unschooling was his, like, yes, it's my out, you know? And so we ended up kind of locking it back down. But then he came to us and said, I can't do school. Can I get a job? And we said, this is our opportunity to unschool him in the way he needs to be unschooled. And he started working and he has worked every day since then. And it probably saved our marriage.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, honestly, unschool, I tell this to people, unschooling was the glue that actually put our marriage back together, because we were not on good terms prior to that. Like we were gonna split. Like we were separated for like a month, you know, because we just couldn't come to an agreement with the whole COVID thing. And like, you know, we both had like our own, not ideals, but you know, he thought, you know, this is the right thing to do. This is the safest route for the kids. And I was like, okay, well, you know, my life is crumbling and I have to put my entire career, my path on hold. You know, it's like I'm being asked to sacrifice everything again as a mother. You know, and as a mother, you feel, you know, I already stayed home for 5 years with my kids. more than that, and I felt like that was a sacrifice at the time. And now it's like it's being asked of me again. What do you mean? And now looking back, I really think, thank God I was home with my kids. Thank God, I did kind of pull through and, jump off the diving board.
That's awesome. So I've kind of seen, like I said, I joke sometimes that we're traditional eclectic unschoolers because it just kind of depends on our day of the week and what we're doing and each child. But I follow a lot of unschooling groups, and I see in some places they're like, oh yeah, it's a sliding scale. It's what works for your family. And I see some that are like really like, no, you don't do anything. Even strewing for your kids is manipulation and all this. And I'm like, gosh, I think strewing is the best, like most fun concept. And so what are your kind of thoughts on like the sliding scale of unschooling?
Well, it's like a spectrum, right? We talk a lot about this in our community, and we have a very wide range of different people and different styles of homeschoolers, and we also have lots of parents that are still in the system or whose kids are still in the system for various reasons, right? Whether you're sharing custody with somebody, or you can't quite pull them, and you can still have an unschooling mindset even if your kids are in school. You can still do the work on yourself, and after school hours on the weekends when you have them, you can still be a voice for them, give them that critical thinking skills, eyes to see, and then there's those others like myself that doesn't use very much curriculum. And people are always like, wow, your kids go to bed whenever they want and they wake up whenever they want. And just, but it's because of my personality. It's because of where I'm at. And then there are parents that are somewhere in the middle, right? And it's unschooling isn't about having the kids do whatever they want, and there's no rules and no boundaries, right? And it's about meeting everyone's needs. It's not about just the kids' needs. It's also about my needs. What are my needs, and what are my husband's needs? And how can we create an environment where we can all coexist and live happily together? And meeting everybody's needs. And like you were saying, that some kids really need more of that meat on the bones. They're more like academically wired. That's my middle child, right? I can just keep pumping those worksheets out of the printer, and she's just like, that's her motivation. She loves it. She'll pick up a book every day and wants to read to me, and I'm like, oh, you're
That's
so
nice.
easy. Like, I just like, I don't even have to ask you. You just do it.
I saw that my first grader was moving through his, he's actually doing kindergarten math. There's a whole unschooling story with that. But I saw he was pumping through it really fast. And I was like, I'm going to go ahead and order him the first grade one because I think we'll be starting it sooner than later. He did 52 lessons of math over the weekend so that he could start his new one. And I'm
That's
like, he's still
amazing.
a few lessons away, but I told him you have to finish because I don't want you to miss any of the foundational stuff, But you're welcome to do it as fast as you can. The problem is he can't read yet. And so we have to do it with him. I was like, I'm exhausted, dude. Like 52 lessons of math is a lot for mom.
Yes. And it's interesting. Sometimes you, as an unschooling family, sometimes I don't quite know where my kids are at, because we don't do assessments, we don't, and sometimes I'm just curious, like I'm not sure, like, are they where they need to be? Because when my middle one, the one that I was talking about, she would have been in grade 2, no, grade 1 I pulled her, and then we had the grade 2, and I was like, okay, you've been home for a year and we haven't really, I haven't been like teaching you, the way it would normally look like. She kind of like just browses through things and reads something on the screen, and I don't know. And so in December, no, September, she would be in grade 3 right now, And I thought, okay, let's just do this online program. It's called IXL. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Of IXL, yeah.
It just does like English math and
Part of our
just all
story,
the,
so.
yeah, just basics, you know. And I just, out of curiosity, wanted to get her to do the assessment, or it'll kind of like place you know, where you are in your skills. And she did it all, and she was right on track with grade three and grade four. And I thought, well, that's weird, because we've just had a whole year of doing nothing, you know. And that just was such an eye-opener for me, you know. We don't have to teach them and force them and, you know, make them do things that, you know, they don't need to do.
You know, my 6-year-old, he came to me when he was like 2 and a half, clear as day. He's like, "Mom, I think it's time you start teaching me now." "Yes, sir." You know, and so we started, and you know, we started like a preschool curriculum that was all like, you know, what's your name and color in the squares, you know. And when he was ready for him to start kindergarten, he started working on the math, and I started to do a reading. And so I let my kids pick all their own curriculum, like to some extent, you know. And we go to a lot of homeschool conferences. So I took him around and I let him see all the different options that he had. And then he picked what he wanted to do. And so he started doing his English curriculum, and he goes, "I don't want to do this right now. We'll talk about it later." And we're like, okay. So we set it aside, and it was like a year, but he was doing like a Saxon math. He was doing a Good and the Beautiful math, and he was doing IXL. And he had him up to himself up to like a third grade level in IXL in kindergarten. So I was like, he's doing his thing. I'm not worried about it. He was the kid that would get up before everybody in the morning and do IXL on his tablet before everybody even got up. I'm good with it. So my husband was starting to get a little concerned. He's like, you know, he's in the first grade. And the funny thing is, my husband's not the academic one. I am. And he's like, he's in the first grade. He can't really write. He doesn't know. He can't read anything. He's a smart kid, but I'm a little concerned. And I was like, let's just trust the process a little bit longer. And the other day, he comes, I don't know, probably, you know, 6 months ago now or something, but he comes blasting through the door, and he's like, "Mom, you told me you were going to teach me how to read, and I can't read my bug identification guide." He's like, "We need to start right now." And he like went and got his curriculum out, crawled in my lap, and was like, "Teach me."
I love it. And they need that fire in their belly, right?
And
They
that was,
need it. And
I had got
that's
him this little
something we
kit.
can't teach.
Yeah, I had got him this little kit for his birthday or Easter or something that had like these little magnifying glasses and a bug identification guide. And he couldn't read it. And he was like, "Well, this doesn't work for me."
And it's interesting, because that's how it works for most homeschoolers and unschoolers. Right? It's just like all of a sudden the light bulb goes on. You know, I can't keep up with my friends or my siblings. Like, I need this skill. Right? So my youngest is 7, and she just recently had her light bulb go on as well, because my middle one is just like blowing through chapter books, and she's just like, okay, this is not okay, because they do have that little bit of a competition and rivalry going on sometimes. It's like, okay, Mom, you need to start teaching me. And I said, okay, bring me your books. Let's go. I'm ready. But, you know,
Absolutely. I love
rewind
it.
2 years ago, when I was really like trying to push it, you know, thinking, oh my God, like, you know, in the school they're doing this, I should be doing this at home, you know. And I would go to libraries every now and then to pick up some books, and I would ask what they want to read. You know, my middle one would say, oh yeah, I want this, you know, I'm into this series of chapter books. I said, great. And then I go to my youngest one, and she's like, oh, don't do this to me. And it's like, what do you mean? Like, I know what you're doing. You know, like she was trying to imply that I'm kind of like bribing her, right? Or like I'm working her. It's like, I know what you're doing. It's like, I don't want any books. You know, I don't read.
Oh, buddy.
It's like, okay. Like, you know, you got your boundaries. Yeah, okay, I respect that. No books for you today.
Well, and you know what? Like, my 15-year-old, he's obsessed with agriculture-related things. Like, you know, he reads the history of farm mechanics, and he wants to be a cat or a dairy farmer. Like, that is his only interest. And he's been taking this debate class at co-op. It's just, one day a week, and he takes the debate. And he really likes the teacher, so he participates, but I never have seen him actually work on his debates or write his debates. And I'm like, I don't know what he's doing, but I'm doing my own thing, Like I teach two classes at co-op. So I'm like, I don't have time to stay on top of what you're doing at co-op. They don't have the homework or anything. It's just a one time a week extra learning. And this week their debate was on the effects of methane production in the cattle industry. And oh my gosh, I have never seen this. He's read like every book on my shelf because, all my books are ag books, Read every book on my shelf, wanting help from me, listening to old podcasts with people from the ag industry. Like, I mean, he went crazy and wrote probably the best debate I've ever seen him, or the best anything that he's ever written.
Amazing.
And
And how
I'm
old is
like,
he?
he's 15.
Oh, I love that age.
Right. So really like having that click for him, because he's not, he's high functioning autistic. So his writing has always struggled. And so for him to like find something that really like drove him like that was so fun to watch.
I have a similar story with my 14-year-old going on 15 this year. In the system, he was diagnosed and labeled as slow processing, slow learner, right? Just hated to read. And the problem wasn't that he wasn't writing, it was just he was taking too long. Right? But he was very like he has beautiful handwriting, and he's kind of very specific and meticulous with his work, and he wants his time. I'm gonna do it, but I want to do it my way in my time frame. And it wasn't respected at school, right? And I would get comments like, oh, he's sleeping in the class, he didn't bring a book for the morning, he's sleeping during reading time. I'm like, well, I don't know what to do. That's your guys' job. He's in your care, right? And then I thought, okay, well, I guess, you're coming home, whatever. And sometimes same thing. I didn't, I wasn't bugging him for a long time. What you're doing, what are you learning? And then one day I come home from work, and I kind of like peek into his room, and he's got this big sketchbook that's like he's writing, and he's been journaling apparently, and just like writing and writing page after page, like it's almost full. And he saw me come in, and he just kind of like flipped it together and put it in his drawer. I'm like, oh, like you don't have to hide that from me. And sometimes we underestimate what they can do and what they're capable of. And then they just blow us out of the water, right? Like he's journaling, he's writing, he's listening and watching documentaries, and then he signed up for this thing with what's his name? Andrew Tate. He's got this Hustlers University where it's all like inspirational, like men's coaching, and like they have like exercises and how to start up a business and how to be an entrepreneur. And I'm like, okay, well, yes, I'll pay the $50 a month for that, yes. And then me and my husband, we were talking about it, the other day, and we just realized he is the most disciplined member of our family, where he wakes up early, he goes to bed early. He exercises 3 times a day. He does his journaling and he does his research. And I really think, I ask myself, how did he get to that place? Because we did go through that stage of 6 months of, okay, do whatever you want. And he did, have nights where he stayed up till 4 and he gamed all day. And then, we get stuck in that idea of, oh, they're going to be these basement dwellers forever. They'll never get it together. And then, yeah, here we are, with teenagers doing amazing things.
I love watching the changes that happen. So, you're up in BC, Canada. Do you guys have regulations? Do you have to report to anyone on your schooling?
Luckily, I don't for whatever reason, because I thought, BC was the worst. BC and Ontario were the worst for COVID with restrictions or regulations. So I signed up with an online homeschooling board or school. It's called Self Design. And we had the option of, going with a teacher that kind of like helps you and guides you with a curriculum. And they also had an option of, that's your responsibility. Do whatever you want. You just need to be registered as a homeschooler. So I thought, oh, okay, yeah, I'll just go there. You
Okay.
know, and I was very surprised that, oh, like they actually let us do that here.
Wow.
But it's different in every province. And Alberta is a little bit different. Like you do
That's
have
like
like
every state here is different.
like you do have this one person that you report to, and I think you need to present your kind of like a rough yearly plan. And then I think they meet like maybe twice a year. And I don't think it's as scary as people think it is. And it's mainly about meeting those core competencies, right? It's like, okay, yeah, check this off, check this off, check this off. So I haven't had to do any of that yet. So I hope things stay that way, but you never know with regulations and all these things.
Do you have any suggestions for families that do have those regulations, like how they should journal or something?
Yes, because I know I have a lot of friends that do have to do that. And first of all, know that you're the powerful one, right? You're the one with the ropes. And really, I feel like parents, we tend to be scared of the authority, right? It's like, oh no, like they're gonna tell us what to do, and they're gonna, if I don't do it their way, then we're in trouble.
But
And
you're
then
the authority of your children.
you're the authority of your children, number one. And number two, document everything that you do. And we were actually just talking about this in one of our calls recently, where I think it would have been Tasha, my mentor, where she has to do that, and she's done that for 4 years. Whereas at first, the whole documenting and taking pictures and journaling, it came out of a place of fear. It's like, oh, I better do this right, and I better write this down. Whereas now, she's transitioned into a place of joy, where it's like, yes, I get to record what they're doing, and then I get to look back years later of all these memories that we've made, and you're really doing this for yourself. You're doing this for the kids to see them unfold, in their learning journey and who they're becoming. So really do it out of joy rather than the place of fear. Like you're answering to somebody.
I love that. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can journal too. Like there's the people who really enjoy like paper to pen. There's the people who like more of a computer based. I know that there's a lot of people that use what is it called? OneNote. Yeah. I love OneNote for like when I'm writing books to have all my like links and thoughts and everything in there, you know? Like, so I know people that use that when they're homeschooling like a bunch or unschooling a bunch of kids. They can have like a tab for each child and then journal what they're doing and putting in pictures and
And with unschooling, the idea really is that you're doing what works for you. And there are families that really thrive with curriculum, and they thrive with keeping track and journaling, scrapbooking, whatever it is, right? If that's your wheelhouse and you're good at it and you're confident, and this is just what makes you. Yes, like do it. Absolutely.
I know there's a ton of homeschoolers that love or unschoolers that love my curriculum because it's, based on homesteading. And so even if sometimes they use the workbook, sometimes they don't, but they just use that to guide their life. You know, like today we planted a garden. Let's go in and read about planting a garden, or let's read about planting a garden and then go practice what she told us to do, and kind of have more of that concept.
And I was talking about this with another friend, and she was kind of like shooting some ideas with me, because her wheelhouse is not curriculum, but kind of like helping people to design a plan for the year, you know, kind of, to kind of like go through the steps of what they need to do, you know, to meet the requirements, right? To help them set up. And I kind of came up with this idea of, or the thought of, you know, all we really need is a template. You know, like, I don't know if you work with Canva. Have you ever done stuff on Canva, right? Sometimes you have
I designed
this
my entire
idea,
book in Canvas.
right? So like you have an idea, okay, let's say you want to write a book, you know, or you need to write some kind of a plan, right? And then you just need a template to go off of, you know, or like to start with, you know. And I do that a lot. I find this beautiful template, thinking, oh yeah, like I love the way this looks, or whether it's curriculum or whatever your journey is. And then I end up changing all the colors, the fonts, you know, I add my own flair to it, and then it looks nothing like the original template. And I feel like it's the same with creating curriculum or your educational journey, right? Sometimes you just need that base, you know, like you said, you have a curriculum also, you know, and then people kind of like get to have an idea of what they want, and then they can customize it, and then they can test it and see if it works. If it doesn't work, what can we change? You
I
know,
love
and
that.
it's an
Speaking of
ever-changing
templates,
journey.
if anybody is looking for something, I do have planner pages and research journals on my website that you can download specifically for keeping track of what your kids are doing out on the farm and their
Awesome.
design.
Beautiful. Yes.
So if somebody was like, I want to start unschooling, what would you tell them to do? Like right off the bat? Like what book should they read? What should they not do? Like
Okay. First one is just chill out, relax.
I was too worked up.
That's the hardest thing. The two books that I started with, the first one was called Unschooling to University, and it's written by Judy Arnall, and she's kind of like the godmother of Canadian unschoolers.
Okay. I'm going to link this in the show notes because I always love being able to give people resources.
And her book is very much like practical advice, examples of her own kids and other unschoolers, and just their stories and how they've made it from, you know, being unschooled to having careers and university degrees. And it's just a fun read with full of like real life tips and things you can do, and also like the science and research to back it all up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I would start with that because I feel like that's also the hot topic of homeschoolers or people who want to, is like, what about university? What about college? You know, they'll never make it if they homeschool. And this is just like, it'll flip the script and how
I
you
like
think
that.
about the journey, how to get there.
Well, that's awesome. And then so if they were like, I'm going to start tomorrow and I'm going to start reading, I'm going to read the book, but I'm going to start with my kids tomorrow. What should they do?
Oh, yeah, man. Honestly, I would. It's a ballsy one, right? And I feel like it's the hardest one, but just like drop the curriculum, see what happens.
Yeah, just do
Drop
nothing.
the, just do nothing, especially when you're coming right out of the school system.
Yeah, what do they
Just do
say? Do
nothing.
you school 1 month for every year you've been in school or
Yes.
something like that?
Yes. You know, if the, like, even give yourself a month, you know, and see what happens. And, you know, my mentor, Tasha, she always says, you know, give yourself a year. You know, if you have a partner that's kind of like on the fence about it, and that's what she says, is, you know, give yourself a year. Like, what's the worst that can ca happen in a year? Let's just try it out. You know, no one's gonna die. No one's gonna.
Well, and I see it even with my kids that are schooled. Or, I mean, we do, like I said, we do a little bit of everything, but we'll take the summer off and we're going to pick huckleberries. And the kids go, hey, mom, will you grab the foraging book so that we can identify other plants while we're out there? Yeah, sure. And then they're like, oh my God, we get out in the woods. This doesn't have anything about mushrooms. Mom, we have to buy a book about mushrooms. Okay.
Okay, in the cart we go.
And so, I mean, you definitely, kids are wired to learn. I mean, even my one kid that I never thought would want to learn anything, he built me a trellis for my peas in my garden. And he was like, these turned out pretty nice. He's like, but I think I want to build them to sell them. And I want to make sure I do it right. How do I know I did it right? And so I bought him a book on homestead building plans. And he did that book like front to back, and he built me a potting stand, and he built a stand for our incubator. And I mean, he took it and went and did his own thing.
But it's interesting because they find their own little rabbit holes, right? Because we as adults do it all the time. But then we think that our kids can't do it or they won't do it because they will. You know, like we've been through so many rabbit holes in the last 3, 4 years, right? It's like, okay, I need to learn everything I need to know. Let's say in your instance, agriculture, right? You have every book you've done, you know, it's just like until you know that, okay, like I know enough for what I need to know right now. And then I have now have some space to look into other things like writing a book. Okay, what do I need for writing a book? And then you find all the resources and then you do it and you do it and you do it until you feel like, okay, I'm done with this for right now. Right?
Yeah,
And kids
I
learn the
feel you.
same way.
Yeah. Well, as we're getting to the end of our time, my favorite question to ask everybody is, what does keep growing mean to you?
Oh, keep growing. That's a good one. For me, keep growing. It means community. That's the word that always comes up to me. You know, keep growing. Keep creating community and attracting people into your life that you can do it with. Because it's hard to do it alone. It's very depressing to do it alone. I've done it a lot alone. But to keep growing, really just attract your people, attract your tribe. You know, it doesn't, growing doesn't have to be hard and painful. You know, it can be fun, it can be creative, it can be whatever you want it to be, you know. Just find your people.
I have to say, I love the beautiful answers that I get every time to that question. So, do you want to tell everyone where they can find you?
You can find me on my Instagram channel at radically.unschooly, or you can find me in Unschooling the Mind community. All the info is on my profile as well. So I'm the community manager at Unschooling the Mind community with Tasha Fishman. I do coaching calls once a week. Depending on the need, and then Tasha does it weekly also. So we just kind of go back and forth, and we have quite a few people in this community. We kind of launched it in January, so we've got some fresh movement there. There's lots of interesting topics that we dive into, and we have a lot. I'm getting all tangled up here. Like we have a wide range of parents there, right? And like you were saying before, you know, sometimes you kind of get these clicky vibes, you know, it's like, oh, we're unschoolers, right? We have parents that have kids in the system. We have parents that, you know, are still doing curriculum. We have parents that are in private schools or doing Montessori or Waldorf, right? And it's all about creating community and unschooling ourselves first, you know.
Oh, that's
The
perfect.
kids are going to be okay, you know. It's just us, right? That need that support. And
Well, we're the ones that are have all the pressure put on us. So I love that. So thank you so much for coming on today and look forward to chatting again.
Thank you for having me.
Did you enjoy today's episode? If so, please head over to your favorite podcast player and leave a comment and review. This helps me to know what you're enjoying and helps others find an episode that can help them. Thank you for joining me today at the Homestead Education, and I hope that I have given you something to think about this week. To help others find me, please comment and leave a review on your favorite podcast player. You can also follow me on Facebook at The Homestead Education and Instagram at homestead_education. Do you have questions that you would like answered or just want to say hi? Please email me at hello@thehomesteadeducation.com. Until next time, keep growing!